A presidential pardon in the national economic interest. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A South Korean billionaire who is the vice chairman of electronics giant Samsung has received a presidential pardon after twice being imprisoned for bribing a former president. Lee Jae-yong, also known by his initials as JY Lee, was already out on parole, but analysts say the pardon will allow him to carry out business operations with more freedom. The country's justice minister said Mr. Lee was being, quote, reinstated to give him a chance to help relieve the nation's economic crisis. The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari explains South Korea has a strong history of pardoning jailed business leaders.
It's something that's done quite regularly, a symbolic move whenever South Korea has something to commemorate. On Monday, it has its Liberation Day anniversary. The Justice Ministry said that it was because the business leader needed to help overcome a national economic crisis. Now, of course, JY Lee did spend 18 months in jail. He was convicted of bribery in a scandal that led to massive protests and even brought down then President Park Geun-hye.
So helping to dig the nation out of an economic crisis, that's a fairly big task to put on one man. What is the economic situation at the moment in South Korea? And really, how much could he and I suppose Samsung help in the situation?
South Korea is a tech and export-dependent economy. It's also Asia's fourth largest economy. But like so many countries around the world, it's really grappling with soaring inflation, weakening demand, poor sentiment, and slowing spending as well. But because Samsung is the world's biggest smartphone and memory chip maker, and there is a major shortage of semiconductors, that could really change how the company carries out its business activities. Now, sources tell the BBC that the pardon means that Lee will be able to carry out a range of business activities with fewer legal restrictions and could even bring in some large investments for the company.
The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, stock benchmarks across Europe and Asia are on the rise this morning. London's FTSE 100 is up about 0.6% after data showed the UK economy shrank less than feared in the second quarter. Sectors like retail and hospitality, though, which are more exposed to rising inflation, were the biggest drag. Meanwhile, Argentina's central bank has hiked interest rates there by 9.5 percentage points to try to contain soaring inflation that's expected to hit 90% by the end of this year. An economic crisis in Lebanon has led banks across the country to restrict access to deposits, which has also led to a standoff that gripped the world's attention this week. An armed man took hostages at a bank in the capital city and demanded access to his frozen savings. The man is reported to have now received assurances from the bank that he will get access to at least some of his cash. The BBC's Sebastian Usher has more on that story.
The hostage drama is playing out at a branch of the Federal Bank of Lebanon in the Hamra district in West Beirut. A bearded man in a black T-shirt, shorts and sandals is talking to security forces from inside the bank as a rifle dangles from his right hand. He entered the building at about midday, demanding some $200,000 of his savings. His relatives say his father is in hospital and needs money for treatment. The man is said to have threatened to set himself on fire if his demands are not met. Relatives of those being held hostage have gathered near the bank, while it's reported that some depositors have also appeared to show their support for the hostage taker. Lebanese banks have severely restricted their customers' right to access their money, limiting withdrawals of hard currency as the country's economic collapse has left many facing a wipeout of their savings.
That's the BBC's Sebastian Usher reporting there. Steel is a go-to material for modern building and construction, and it's also one of the world's biggest producers of carbon dioxide. But there's a company in Sweden called SSAB that's been developing a less environmentally intensive kind of steel. The BBC's Roger Harabin visited a plant to see how the new process works.
Molten iron is spurting out of the base of the blast furnace, and it's producing the equivalent of a waterfall and a cloud of sparks. It is absolutely awesome. This is the traditional way of making steel, but here, that's all going to change. So we're leaving the plant now. Within 10 years, this place will be closed to be replaced by another plant using fossil-free fuel. Now, I have to say that in 35 years reporting the environment, this is one of the biggest breakthroughs I've seen. We've just driven about half a mile now through the snow. and we've come to see the future. And here it is right in front of us, gleaming new building, emblazoned with a huge sign, fossil-free steel. So we're about to step into the future of steel now. In front of us there's a roller shutter that's being raised, and we're stepping into a large, clean barn. And there's this great bank of grey pellets. And really heavy grey pellets. With me is Michael Nordlander from Vattenfall, the power firm. What are we looking at?
We're looking at iron ore pellets. So it's crushed iron ore that has been turned into powder and then sintered into these pellets that look like small balls about a centimeter wide.
And there are, what, tens of millions of these little pellets here?
Probably.
And this hum is the key to zero carbon steel, a bank of large electrolyzers that use electricity from wind, hydro and nuclear to split water and get hydrogen. That hydrogen is then baked with iron ore in a step towards making the zero carbon steel. The only emission is water. So, Michael, in your hand is what looks like a credit card, about 3 mil thick. In fact, this is one of the world's rarest materials, isn't it?
Indeed it is. It is a piece of fossil-free steel made totally without carbon. And to our knowledge, it's the first time in history that man has made steel without any presence of carbon whatsoever.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The innovation excites Julian Allwood from St. Catherine's College, Cambridge. He's Professor of Engineering and the Environment.
The hydrogen plant in Sweden is really exciting. The difficulty is whether it will scale to global level. And scaling it needs an enormous supply of emissions-free electricity. They happen to have that in Sweden, but the rest of the world doesn't. Only a third of our electricity doesn't have emissions. So if we do choose that route, we're only going to be able to make about a tenth of the amount of steel that we make today.
Professor Allwood says we can still enjoy good lives using less steel through better design and by making things, including buildings, last longer before they're replaced. So this plant in Sweden may only offer a partial solution, but it does show what the power of human invention can do.
That's the BBC's Roger Harabin reporting there. Finally, Big Macs are making a comeback in Ukraine. McDonald's is planning to reopen restaurants it closed after the start of Russia's invasion back in March. The Golden Arches says it hopes to restore a small but important sense of normalcy over the next few months, and it's asked staff to return to work while also consulting with Ukrainian officials, suppliers, and security specialists. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.